This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am here at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference in Florida. And I am sitting down with my neighbor, actually, J.D. Alexander, who lives in Pilgrim, Nebraska. J.D., how are you?
Very good. Very good. Good to be here and glad to have you here.
Well, thanks, J.D. You have some big shoes to fill. You're the president-elect here. I know they've been grooming you for quite a few years for you to take over. But I know that puts you in a position where you spend a lot of time talking to producers, not only just at this conference, but throughout the year and other people in Nebraska that you're ranching next to. So what have been some of those really big issues that just everybody's talking about here at the conference?
Well, first off, it's a great privilege for me to do this and an honor to be selected as chairman-elect and become the president next year. The great thing about our industry is there's great cattle producers all across the nation, and that's probably the biggest thrill for me is being able to go to their back door, visit with them at their conventions, their meetings, et cetera, to really get to know them better. We do have a lot of things in common. Maybe different areas, of course, have different topics that are of upfront compared to others. But, you know, when you've got the environmental issues that come out of Washington, D.C., trade issues, et cetera, overreach on DEQ, EPA, et cetera, all the government regulations, it's something you really got to be concerned about. And the bottom line is we've got to work together on a state and national partnership to overcome these things so we can do better at what we do the best, and that's producing beef, the high-quality beef that we could hopefully, you know, maneuver around the domestic and foreign markets as well.
Well, J.D., one of the things that I've really been keeping my eye on, it's sort of twofold. You know, you talked about the government regulations. Environmental Protection Agency in particular has just been, I don't want to say, well, to some extent, sort of a bane or a thorn in our in the industry side. At the exact same time that we have a growing population, and quite honestly, if we regulate our cattle industry out of existence, how in the world are we going to feed 9 billion people, and how are we going to provide protein? So, what do you think is behind some of these regulations, and what do we need to do as an industry to help get those pushed aside and refocused on what we need to focus, and that's producing high-quality protein?
Well, that's a good, very good question, and I think one of the things is that they obviously, if they're trying to do some regulation like that, they must have a sense that we're not doing it properly right now. I've always said, as far as the environmental goes, we, as producers, make our living off the environment. You know, we grow the crops to feed to the cattle, to grow the protein that can be fed to the nation's population. So the thing is that we always, because we make a living off the land, we're going to take care of the land. And I think part of the message then is that we're not getting that information out, how well we're taking care of it, what we're doing to protect it, to preserve it for our next generation. You know, one of the greatest stories we've got is we've got this Environmental Stewardship Awards. Every year we go around the nation in different regions and pick the producers that are showing great, great things with how they're preserving and saving and enhancing the environment. And we make it a big award, and it is an award. We had seven of them in at this conference. Out of those, one will be picked as a winner. And what we really need to do is make this more and more known so the people out there that make these rules and regulations can understand that we're really taking care of it, doing what's in the best interest of the nation, the planet, growing our protein throughout the world, and taking care of what we really need to do and doing it right. So a lot of good things that we can do, just got to get the message out.
J.D., I want to circle back for a minute. We talked a lot about foreign trade, and there's been, you guys have worked for years on opening some of the borders, and I know there's policy that's been passed by Congress and the Senate that's just sitting on President Obama's desk. You know, it leads me to question where his priorities are, obviously. How do we get over that hump? How do we get that signature and then keep moving forward so we can open up some more trade to some additional countries?
It is very disappointing. You've hit it on the head. If there's nothing more frustrating than to know these laws are sitting there, these acts are sitting there with Panama, Korea, Colombia, and so on, that just by signing these could go on and become implemented. The thing we can do is that we're continuing, we've been doing in the past, is continuing to put pressure on. We've talked to our legislators, both congressmen and senators, to try and convince the president to do this. Especially frustrating from the fact that he says he really would like to increase foreign trade and so on while they're sitting there, and we've got the good product to do this with. The concern is if we wait too long, we could have some of our competitors from other beef-producing nations come in there and get their foot or toe hold in there, and then it's tougher for us to come in. You know, we're ready to make it. We've done great amount of promoting. We've used the checkoff dollars to promote it, to get our beef into those countries. We've seen good results where we have access. And it really would be very beneficial to our industry in the future if we could get these trade agreements signed.
So, J.D., I'm gonna ask you this question. This is probably, could be, the most important question of this interview, actually of the whole conference.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? What is your favorite way to prepare beef?
Well, mine, there's numerous ways, but my favorite one is, I tell you, my favorite of all time is a bone-in ribeye. And I am very fortunate to have a small-town grocery store that he actually buys boxes of beef for me and cuts them up to my special width, and that is our family's favorite. We have it for all special occasions, holidays and so on, and so that by all means is for me. Grilling a bone-in ribeye on the grill is my favorite.
All right, well, J.D., the next time you guys take some cattle to slaughter and you're going to sell it among the family, make sure I get that family discount.
I'll remember that. The other thing we do is, and I hate to say it, it's always good to have a good hamburger as well. It's hard to beat a good hamburger, and it's fast and easy, and we really enjoy grilling out. It's a good family gathering. We can go outside and sit around the grill and visit and cook a hamburger and enjoy it. So it's a good family operation.
Well, great. Thanks, J.D.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime.